Support for the Capital Connection comes from United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm David Gustina. Joining us this week is Lola Brabham. She is the president of the Commission on Independent Colleges and Universities. We call that CICU. And as president, she leads the Albany-based nonprofit organization that represents the chief executives of New York's 100-plus independent colleges and universities on issues of public policy. You can read more at cicu.org. Let me tell you a little bit more about Ms. Brabham, who joined CICU after a 26-year career in public service. Most recently, she served as commissioner of the New York State Department of Civil Service and president of the Civil Service Commission. In that role, she led the Central Personnel Agency for the executive branch, serving approximately 150,000 employees. Prior to leading the Department of Civil Service, Ms. Brabham was deputy commissioner for administration and chief financial officer of the New York State Department of Labor, managing internal operations and overseeing the fiscal health of the agency's $4 billion budget. My goodness, you have some major responsibilities. Welcome, Lola Brabham, to the Capital Connection.
Thank you so much, David. And, you know, for your listeners who may not be familiar with the Commission on Independent Colleges and Universities in New York, as you've said, CICU is an association that represents more than 100 private nonprofit colleges and universities across New York. 44%, or roughly 500,000 New York students, attend one of our schools. Again, this year, pressures on higher education, for our sector especially, are compounding. Deep declines in state support, demographic challenges, and reductions in federal support are having negative impacts on our students, families, and communities. And as you said, you know, this past Tuesday, we held a Higher Education Advocacy Day where campus leaders and students from both the public and the private nonprofit colleges spoke with, you know, state policymakers about the issues that matter to us most.
Well, I'm so pleased to have you here with us. Obviously, higher education is a very, very important component of so many people's lives, not only in the state of New York, but in the country. Why don't we start with one of the things that I think, and quite frankly, have heard in the past from people like Blair Horner at the New York Public Interest Research Group, is that higher education has a truly economic impact on the state and the regions where these colleges are located.
Yes, that's right. So, you know, and I'll refer to a report that was recently released by the New York State Comptroller, Tom DiNapoli, where he noted that the current higher education ecosystem provides almost 300,000 jobs, $15.7 billion in consumer spending, and over $8 billion in research and development spending. So yes, you know, it's important to our local economy, it's important to the regions, it's important statewide, you know, both for students and families, but also, you know, very important to the economic stability and workforce pipeline for the state of New York.
So help us understand the gap here, because obviously higher education benefits those who attend these colleges and universities, whether they're public or private, independent. And you, as you referenced, had all these students here in the Capitol,
yes.
450 from 34 member campuses raising their voices about the funding. So what's the gap? Why aren't there legislators in the state, especially with the fact that the federal government isn't being much of a help here? What don't they understand? What are we missing here?
So let's start with that, right? So one of the most critical issues facing higher education right now is related to some of the negative impacts of the Big Beautiful Bill, right? There have been some recent changes in federal student loan programs that will hurt affordability, close off access to critical degree programs, and ultimately diminish workforce readiness in critical fields. So I'm going to give you a couple of examples. The total elimination of the Grad Plus program is going to significantly reduce access to advanced degrees, particularly in fields that are essential to New York State's workforce. So with the Grad Plus program now gone, the U.S. Department of Education has essentially created two categories, the standard master's degree and the professional master's degree, and is enforcing new lower loan caps. So, for example, a standard master's degree, the cap is now going to be roughly $20,000. And for what they deem a professional degree, the cap is going to be $50,000. The problem is that there are only a few programs that the federal government has, you know, deemed professional. In fact, there are only 11 on the list. It's mostly medical and law, and then throw in, you know, clinical psychology and theology. So what that means is that fields like social work, teaching, nursing, accounting, engineering, architecture, and more are now classified as the standard graduate program. So students who are pursuing a career in those fields may not now have access to adequate financing to complete their degrees. So, you know, many of those students will be pushed into the predatory private loan market and forced to pay higher interest rates to finance their education. And it's also possible that some may abandon graduate studies altogether. You know, we know from looking at this issue that, it's projected that 60% of graduate plus borrowers will, you know, not qualify for those private loans. So that's going to be a real problem. And then compounding this issue is the Parent PLUS loan caps that have been put in place by the federal government. Parents are now limited in how much financial assistance they can provide to students, to $65,000 in the aggregate. So that means if you're, you know, an undergraduate student, your parents can only borrow up to that amount during your entire undergraduate study. So again, this will force undergraduates and parents to pursue alternative lenders with less favorable terms and without the benefit of federal loan protections. And we also know that there are 43,000 New York students, or last year there was 43,000 New York students associated with Parent PLUS loans. So again, analysis projects that 50% of those parents will not qualify for private loans, and that's due to creditworthiness, whether it's a student that doesn't really have a credit history, or whether it's something else that where banks would deem someone to be not worthy of those private loans. So all this is really a problem. And, you know, going back to what we were talking about before in terms of the economic impacts, we know that, you know, based on recent analysis, that federal loan reforms will materially shape New York State's economy over the next 10 years. So if no action is taken, it's likely that New York will, you know, lose students to neighboring states. That's already happening, right? So this is only going to make it worse. But enrollment losses due to these federal loan policies could top 75,000 students by the fall of 2030, right? And so that is a real problem. And just to put some context around, you know, what that means, that represents an estimated loss of about $426 million in spending by students and campus visitors at local businesses near college campuses. More than 29,000 campus jobs could be lost, which represents a loss of about $220 million in state payroll and sales tax revenue. And combined with other factors, you know, severe enrollment declines could potentially lead to more campus closures. On average, when a campus closes, we know that the surrounding community loses about $85 million in annual economic impact, and that includes about 400 jobs, you know, per campus. So, you know, this is a real problem, and we've been talking to, you know, state policymakers about it. In fact, you know, we've recommended that, you know, to support students and to insulate the state's economy, that New York, think about establishing a state-backed loan program that has borrower protections and competitive rates. And, you know, we've talked to people about that, and we're hoping that our message is resonating. The program could target the neediest graduate students pursuing degrees in critical fields, right? The fields that I mentioned earlier, teaching, social work, nurses, physician's assistants, mental health, you know, these are all of the areas where New York State currently has worker shortages, right? And so we need individuals to be pursuing degrees in that field.
We're speaking with Lola Brabham, president of the Commission on Independent Colleges and Universities, that's CICU. And we're hearing the problems now facing you. These aren't small problems. When it comes to running things, you need money. And the obviously, you're barking up the right alley here. You're going to need the state to make up the difference. But yet, you have got one thing going for you, which is it's an election year. So you'll probably get a lot of support verbally from lawmakers. But as you referenced the comptroller, Tom DiNapoli, who has pointed out the out years here are big budget deficits. And the impact of the big, beautiful bill isn't just on higher education, obviously. So your confidence level, obviously, you want to get the best quote-unquote deal for the independent colleges and universities. But what's your sense that this year of all years is really the year to hit the legislature hard?
Well, listen, this year, we think that it is going to be a good year. And I know that every year the state is thinking about its state fiscal plan. They're thinking 3 years out. They're trying to close any budget deficits. But, you know, I think we're in good shape this year as those numbers, and when we're talking about deficit numbers, are smaller than they have been in past years. So I think that we're in good shape. And obviously, look, as we move forward in the budget and legislative session, we're going to continue our strong advocacy around, you know, these issues, focusing on access and affordability and focusing on helping students navigate an increasingly complex, you know, federal student loan system. And we're hoping that as the state continues its conversation, that, you know, they'll be focused on solutions that are inclusive of the full higher education ecosystem, meaning both the public and the private nonprofit campuses that educate more than a million students across the state of New York. And so, and we also know that our state policymakers share our same goals. So we are very hopeful that our message is going to resonate.
Yeah, well, it remains to be seen. We'll see where this all goes. But one of the things that always concerns me when it comes to the cutting of funding is that often means the poorest among us are hurt the most. And I would imagine that's part of the problem here with trying to get as many people into higher education as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct. And you're absolutely right. Well, with these issues that we're talking about, middle and working class families are especially, you know, they're especially vulnerable. And these students have historically relied on federal loans and financial aid, you know, and those kinds of mechanisms because of the stability and the repayment protections. And so that's why we're fighting so hard, you know, to bring some awareness to how all of these challenges kind of, you know, are kind of piling up, and talking to our lawmakers about the assistance that we need.
Now let's talk about community colleges, because one of the agenda items I see is expanding the free community college proposal to include independent colleges and universities. Hey, why not? It's such a catchment for so many different people for so many different reasons, whether you're an older continuing education student, whether you're a young person who's not quite sure what they want to do. And it would give everyone a leg up in the state if they could attend at least 2 years of college.
Well, hey, you know, the governor has announced this, and the reason why we're saying open it up, you know, to our campuses is because over 50 of our schools, while they are, you know, four-year schools, also award associate degrees. And we see no reason why they should be left out of this mix, right? Because after all, when you look at the our campuses, you know, we're graduating, you know, most of the teachers, you know, most of the nurses, you know, most of the individuals who are going into these critical fields. And so, yes, you know, we've been pushing to have that program be open to our campuses, and so that, you know, students have an opportunity to select the school, the campus, the program that's their best educational fit, right? And not be pushed in one direction or another because, you know, of the word free, right? So that's what we're advocating for, you know. And I'd be remiss, though, also, if I didn't mention some of the other programs that, you know, when we had our students here the other day, we also focused on the tuition assistance program, right? TAP is New York's signature student aid program, and it's already helped more than 6 million New Yorkers earn a college degree by making it more affordable. And we were so grateful last year when the state expanded the program so that it could help even more New York you know, students and families. And so we're asking the state to continue that momentum by, you know, providing financially independent students with full TAP benefits. These are the students that are typically working, paying taxes, and often supporting families while attending college at the same time. Yeah. And we believe that they, you know, deserve the full support of the state. For some reason, you know, dependent students get the full benefit, but if you're independent, meaning that you don't live at home with your parents, then you don't get that full benefit. And so we're, you know, concerned about that. And we think that that regulation is, you know, hasn't kept pace with what's really going on in society today. And, you know, another aspect of TAP that we're focusing on is we're asking the state to restore grad TAP. I don't know if you remember that there used to be a TAP for graduate students, but yep. It was rescinded back in 2010. And so we're asking the state to consider restoring that program, even potentially focusing on students who are pursuing critical workforce fields like the health professions or STEM or teaching. So that's another one of our focuses this year. And of course, you know, we're focused on the educational opportunity programs. I'm sure you're familiar with them, HEOP, EOP, STEP, and C-STEP, and Liberty Partnership. New York's education opportunity programs are the best in the nation, and they provide access to college for economically and educationally disadvantaged students.
Let me just jump in there, Lola, and say they work. Sure. Anecdotally, at least, I, having attended a college in New York for my undergraduate mm-hmm. degree, have met and been friends with many people who came in, especially under HEOP, and HEOP mm-hmm. was a game changer for them. And now so many of them are in successful careers, owning a home, a business, you know, contributing to society. And that, to me, is a success of government.
That is exactly the success of government. And, you know, these programs work because not only, you know, do they offer, you know, additional academic assistance and mentorship, but also financial aid packages that cover tuition, fees, books, living expenses, kind of all the things that you need to do to stay the course in college and be successful. And so, you know, we know that more now than ever, these programs need that additional investment to continue to provide high quality services to the students that need it and also to meet the increasing demand. So that's something that we've been talking a lot about this year as well.
One of the things that I'm somewhat concerned about, and I should, as to full disclosure, I teach a course at the University of Albany in broadcast journalism, and I love interacting with young people. And the point I'm going to make now is that we're seeing, you know, you mentioned the closure of some of these private colleges, like the College of St. Rose, for example, here in Albany, which has shaken up the middle of the city because of how much land and buildings and economic impact that campus has. However, as we look at the state of higher education right now, especially since the pandemic, we've seen an uptick in virtual learning, right? And we've also been seeing on some level, not consistently, and there are ups and downs, but the declining enrollment. That's a bad thing. I wonder if the model for higher education is changing with our changing technologies, the mobility, the technology like AI, and again, this idea of virtual learning. Are we going to see a future where the numbers that are enrolled on campus are going to continue to dive?
Well, I certainly hope not. Right. And so I do agree that things are changing and evolving. And, you know, our schools are evolving with it. Right. Evolving with the times. And we think that that's important. And we're doing everything that we can to keep pace with that change. But that's why we need, you know, the state and our state policymakers as partners. Right. Because that's not something that we can do alone. And New York's higher education ecosystem, it's just that it's an ecosystem. Right. And so, you know, we can't just keep, you know, funneling the support to kind of one portion of that system and leaving the private nonprofits behind, because, you know, a higher education system like that, you know, will not be able to stand, you know, as you say. And some of it has to do with enrollment, but, you know, other aspects of it, you know, has to do with the rapid transformation that we're seeing, right? New York's economy is undergoing rapid transformation with the rise of new technology. technologies and strategies to mitigate modern day challenges, right? And our colleges and universities are playing a critical role in that and meeting the workforce needs of the future. So again, going back to our priorities, another thing that we've been talking about is continued support for programs like the Centers for Advanced Technology, the Centers for Excellence, the NYSTAR matching grants programs, you know, so that we can, you know, continue partnerships that pay tremendous dividends for our state. So we're asking the state to continue its investment in our world-class research universities, for example, to bring the jobs of the future and to help leverage millions of dollars in federal funding to communities across the state. So that's a very high priority on our list. We know that the governor has already put in some money for that, and we're talking to our legislators about, you know, expanding and adding back some money that got taken out last year.
We are speaking with the president of the Commission on Independent Colleges and Universities. Her name is Lola Brabham, and I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Let's turn to something called Gear Up. Tell us what this is.
Well, Gear Up is essentially a college pipeline program where school districts work with a cohort of students starting in seventh grade and as they continue and transition into college. And it's really a college readiness program that has been very successful. New York had been a grant recipient of the Gear Up program for many, many years. And so this next year will be the first year that New York has been left out of the grant for Gear Up.
How come?
Well, due to changes in perspectives of the federal U.S. education program, they've taken a look at Gear Up, and they've started deciding, you know, which states are going to get the Gear Up grant and which are not.
I see. Well, maybe that's a good time to bring in the federal government and the current administration's approach toward higher education, which, for example, they've attacked things like diversity, equity, and inclusion as if those are bad things. And right in your Advancing Higher Education in New York on your website, your sort of mission statement, you want to provide opportunity and access to higher education through fairness, equity, and humanity. Well, these kind of buzzwords to me seem like something that this current administration in Washington would attack. Now, how can you have, you know, that bully pulpit coming down hard and basically accusing colleges and universities of being agents of the left?
Yeah. Well, listen, I can't begin to explain what's in the minds of anyone in the federal government and kind of, you know, what the objective is there. But what I can say is that you're right. Those words, we are true to our mission, and we're going to continue to be true to our mission and support our campuses in educating the next generation of leaders in New York. And we're going to do so by continuing to advocate for all the things that we've been talking about, you know, today, advocating so for access and opportunity and, you know, helping students stay the course in college and persist to graduation so that they can stay here in New York, work in New York, and become future leaders, right? So that's our focus.
We're speaking with Lola Brabham, president of the Commission on Independent Colleges and Universities. That's CICU. You can read more at CICU.org. If you wanted to leave one thing in the minds of our listeners about CICU and the situation facing the independent colleges and universities, I give you that time now to tell us what it is.
Well, I guess I would just say that, you know, CICU is on the front lines. We're going to continue to be very vocal about the needs of students across New York. And as I said before, as we move forward in the budget and legislative process, we're going to be advocating strongly for access and affordability. And we just hope that as the state prepares its budget, and when they're looking at potential solutions for some of the problems that we've been talking about, that they are inclusive in their approach, and that the independent sector is treated with fairness, and that whatever policies are being considered are going to be those that preserve access. And that they're going to do everything that they can to you know, protect future opportunity, stabilize, you know, New York's workforce. And, you know, we're hopeful that our messages have been heard and we're going to stay the course.
Yeah, well, one last comment here. I would think that with the governor of the state being a Democrat, the leader of both houses in the legislature, the leaders in the Assembly and the Senate being Democratic, and an overwhelming Democratic majority, at least you have a kind ear to speak into.
That's correct. And we have. And we always have open lines of communication. And we take advantage of that as best we can.
Yeah.
And as I said before, we know that the governor and our state legislators, you know, we share our goals. So it'll come down to what decisions they make, right?
Indeed. Well, we are out of time. Our guest has been Lola Brabham, the president of the Commission on Independent Colleges and Universities, CICU for short. You can find out more at cicu.org. I know how busy a week you've had this week, Lola. So thank you much for joining us on the Capital Connection this week.
Thank you so much for having me, David.
Support for the Capital Connection comes from United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.